Now, there is one thing about this warfare, and we sang it tonight in that hymn number 4. His name shall be the Counselor, the mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Oh, I like that. And when we sang that, I said, I'm confirmed in what the Lord was having to say. The warfare of the believer, and with Christ as our leader, we cannot lose. Now, maybe you're not in the habit of saying amen. I heard a few. In this warfare with the Lord Jesus Christ as leader, we cannot lose.
Amen.
Those poor fellows down in the United States thought they would win, didn't they? We cannot lose. Now, some of you may be familiar with the Cathedrals, a beautiful quartet. And they sing, I suppose it's a hymn, but I like it. I've read the back of the book, and we win. Isn't that nice? Do you want to be in something that you cannot lose? Get in the warfare of the believers. But before we can be in the warfare of the believers, there is one prerequisite, one thing necessary. You know how when you go to school and you want to take course C, and they say, well, before you can take course C, you have to take course B. B is prerequisite for C. And if you want to be in the Lord's army, there's one prerequisite. You must be a child of God. Now, how does one become a child of God? John chapter 1. And those of you that know me, you know my habits. This morning at Renfrew, I was very kind. We only turned to one scripture. Terrible. But in this series during the week, we're going to turn to several scriptures. And I've said it before, you've probably heard me say it. If you want to hear good music, nice music, listen to the leaves of the Bible as eternal. That's music. And so we shall be turning to several scriptures. The first one, John chapter 1, verse 11. And oh, by the way, these are all scriptures that everybody knows. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he authority to become children of God. Not sons, children. You're born as a child. Sonship comes later. We won't be talking about that this week. Which were born. How does one become a child of God so that he can be in this winning army which were born? Not of blood. A lot of work being done today on DNA and REA and all kinds of A's, what you inherit and what you don't inherit. You cannot inherit being a child of God. Your parents can't give it to you. And one other interesting thing, God has no grandchildren. See? You've got to be born directly through him. Now, we are grandparents, and we are also great grandparents. And oh, we love those grandchildren and the great grandchildren. But God doesn't have any of those. You're either a child or you're not a child. And I say that for the benefit of any visitors who are here. If you are not a child of God, you're not in this warfare. And if you want to be a child of God, your parents can't give it to you. You can't inherit it. So don't go to the research people and tell them to look up your DNA and all that. They can't get it that way. That's a waste of time. Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. To be a child of God, you can't merit it, you can't work for it, and you can't deserve it. I know some people and they're working so hard to please God. You can't please God. No matter how learned you are, and no matter how refined you are, we talked about this morning. And no matter how everything nice you are, that will not make you a child of God. Which were born not of the will of man, not of the flesh, nor of the will of man. We have a lot of gurus in the United States. These are the boys and girls that are supposed to know so much. Most of them come from the East. When you have time, look up Isaiah chapter 2. You know, that's why I like the Bible. It tells you that many false doctrines come from the East. It's right in here in the book of Isaiah. And they're flooding our country with a lot of philosophies and nonsense from the East. And they can't do a thing for you. Which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. If you want to be a child of God and enter this army, you've got to be born of God. How is that possible? Chapter 3, please. How is one born of God? Chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, who is this him? Nicodemus, a trained mind, a learned man, a very fine man, truly highly educated, and the Lord said to Nicodemus, you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto you, you must. Not you should, not you may, not you might, you must be born again. You can't get into this family of God any other way. But look at verse 9. Now this is a very learned man. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou not a master in Israel and know not these things? And then he goes on to that wonderful verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, I'd like to talk on that tonight, but I can't. His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, and that does not mean annihilation. We may get to that this evening. Perish in the Bible doesn't mean annihilation. But have. Now, what does your Bible say? What kind of life? Which? Any others? Eternal. Homework. You know, I give a lot of homework. What's the difference between eternal and everlasting? You do that at home. But that's the only way you're going to get to be a member of the church. Family of God. You must be born into the family by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing about it is, once you're in the family, you're sure of winning. That's what I like. People talk about a sure thing. Why, in the army of the Lord, I'm sure that we're going to win. Now, what we want to do for a while is to look at the believer as a child of God. Some of the things that characterize a child and therefore should characterize us as children of God. Now the first thing that we notice is that children, as they come into the world, are very helpless. Therefore, they are very dependent. Isn't that true? Children are very dependent. You have to give them clothing. You have to feed them. You have to change them. You have to be, they are very dependent. And they are dependent for a long time. Now, when a horse is born, or a deer, antelope, even an elephant, an hour after they are born, they walk. How old were you when you walked? Well, you see, I was born a good while back. Oh, I'll tell you, it doesn't matter to me. 1912, you figure it out. My mother tells me that I walked when I was 18 months old. Now, my brother after me, he was faster. He walked when he was 14 months old. But my first daughter walked when she was 10 months old, and the second one when she was 9 months old. So what happened all that time that the child couldn't walk? Somebody had to take it here and there and so forth. Children are very dependent. And we as believers, as children of God, are dependent people. And we will have no success unless we are dependent. John chapter 15, please. Children are dependent. As children of the Lord Jesus Christ, with God our Father, we too are dependent. John chapter 15, verse 15. I like this verse. Did I say 15? 5, I'm sorry. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now the last clause. Without me, nothing. You remember when you were in school and you studied algebra? You know, you have a statement here and a statement here, an equal sign. Well, that's what this verse says. Without me, nothing. We are a dependent people, and one of the reasons as children of God that we have less success than we should have, we try to be independent. Proverbs 3, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And what if you acknowledge him in your ways, what's going to happen? What does the Bible say is going to happen? He'll direct your path. Now, what is the difference between a way and a path? If you acknowledge him in your ways, he'll take care of you in your path. What's the difference between a way and a path? In New York City, that wicked city, we have what you call subways. You see, if you get on one of those trains, there's a sign there saying where the train is going to take you. Now, in the last several years, they have been marring the trains and the signs, painting them. Now, you all don't do that up here. Good. I have nice sentences up here. So that when the train comes in, you may not see where the train is going. But under normal conditions, the train indicates where it's going. That's a way. Now you go down to New Orleans, and what fascinated me in my trips there, the waterways up and down the Mississippi, east and west, north and south. That's a waterway. We came here by plane. That was an airway. Ways are definitely laid out. But paths are not, are they? You have a path here, and it rains, and you have no path. Now the Lord said, when you are going on your way, acknowledge me. When you think you know what you're doing, acknowledge me. And when you get to the path that you don't know where you're going, then I'll do that. That's what that verse means. We are to be dependent upon the Lord for everything. And never think that you know too much. Something occurs to me. First Samuel. Now, I may not get through this subject tonight because already I'm deviating. But I do this because I think it's very, very necessary. First Samuel. It may even be 2 Samuel. Yes, I think it is 2 Samuel. Now you'll have to excuse me because I didn't include this in my thinking, but it comes before me and I want to show you something. Yes, 2 Samuel chapter 5. In all your ways, acknowledge him or you'll get in trouble. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Verse 18. Now, let us read carefully. You know, beloved, one of the troubles with us, and especially younger believers, and I'm not against you, I'm for you. They read too fast. Have you ever noticed that? They read so fast, they don't know what they're reading. Read the Bible slowly. Now, there was a lady, what was her name? Fast reading. I forget her name. Don't read the Bible fast. This is God's word. And every word is important. Now read with me, please. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Verse 18. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? The Lord said, go up, and I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. Verse 22. The Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Read verse 18, please. The Philistines came also and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Same circumstance, huh? So you might say, well, the first time the Lord said go up, so why should I ask him the second time? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Read verse 19. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hands? The Lord said unto David, go up. Verse 23. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up. Do you get what I'm getting at? The circumstances were the same, but that does not mean that David should act independently. In all thy ways, if the same thing happens 10 times, ask the Lord 10 times. He might change his direction the 9th time. Dependence upon the Lord characterizes children. Then there is another thing about children. Have you ever seen a little baby worrying? When's the last time you saw a baby worry? Huh? Let me give you an example. My second daughter. She was about 2 years old. I came home that evening. And she said to me, Daddy, Mommy is going to get me a new pair of shoes. I said, well, why do you say that? Well, she said that the ones that I have don't fit. So I'm going to get a new pair. Dependence. She didn't worry about where it was coming from, who would pay for it. And that should be our attitude. Complete freedom of mind. Children, don't worry. And you know, we shouldn't worry. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 6, please. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Children, don't worry. And believers shouldn't worry. Now, Margie, I didn't say you shouldn't be concerned. I didn't say that. Of course you're concerned if your child is ill. But there is a difference between being concerned and worrying. When the Lord came to the grave of Lazarus, he wept. Wasn't he concerned? But he didn't worry. Now, I know it's easy to say. And you will say to me, well, maybe you have arrived. No, I haven't arrived there either. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. But let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Now that's the old King James English. And I remember again with this. No, this was a granddaughter this time. I said to her, Kim, what do you want for Christmas? She said, I want a Bible. I said, but you have one. She said, but I don't understand. That was the old King James. So I had to get her one that she could understand. I'm not going to tell you which one. We're going to come to that during the week. There are a whole lot of false Bibles going around. Be careful which one you read. Be careful for nothing. Now, what does that mean in normal, everyday language? Well, how would you translate it? Pardon? I didn't get it. Don't be anxious. That's good. Don't be anxious. Don't be full of care. What's that? Excellent. Don't worry. That's what that word says. Do you find children worrying? Children don't worry. And we as believers should not be worrying. Have you ever seen a dog prepare for his old age? And where we moved from recently in Maryland, oh, there were any number of crows. And you never saw such plump crows. Beautiful feathers. And the crows, they don't save anything. They just go out every morning and the Lord hears them. And so it is with us. We should not worry. Now, beloved, I didn't say you shouldn't work. The Bible teaches about working. But we shouldn't let things get us so that we have a headache. You ever worry so hard you have a headache? Well, that's wrong. Don't worry. Children are carefree. Then there's another thing about children. Mark you now, we are children of God, and these things characterize us. Children are what we call artless. They're genuine. I'll give you a good example. The chief of surgery at a certain hospital was a very stern man. And the fact is that many on the staff didn't like him anyhow. But we never told him that. We were making rounds one day. Came to the pediatric ward, and the chief of surgery looked at this little child. Who's this child? This child looked up and said, I don't like you. Boy, we wish we could say that. He was frank, genuine, just tells it as it is. You read it in Matthew, you read it in James. I'll give you the scriptures, we won't turn to them. Matthew 5 and 37, James 5 and 12. Let your nay be nay and your yea be yea. Don't talk with tongue and teeth. Just tell the truth as is. Now, of course, you're also told in Colossians 4 and 6 that we must speak with grace and add salt. You don't want to hurt everybody's feelings. But speak the truth. Children don't get their... They learn that from us, you know. They learn all these devious ways from us. But children are artless. They are genuine. And God would have us to be so. Ephesians 4 and 25, please. I would remind us again now, these are the things that are to characterize us as children of God. Dependence. Carefree. Now, Mark, carefree does not mean that you're not concerned. But it does mean that you don't worry. Somebody has said that 90% of the things that we worry about never happen. Isn't that true? Sure. Ephesians 4 and 25. I remember as a young believer reading this. And for a while, I couldn't understand why does God put this verse in the Bible? Speaking to Christians, children of God. I could understand it if he spoke to the people in the world. But he's speaking to his own people, his own children. He says, put away lying and speak the truth. wonder, why would God say that? Why would he tell Christians to put away lying and tell the truth? Do you know why? You know why? Because Christians tell lies. That's why. That's why that's it. And God is saying, don't tell lies. Be honest. Be frank. Children are that way. There's another thing about children. They don't bear grudges. Have you ever noticed two children playing? I'm talking about 3 and 4 years old. And they have a little disagreement and they walk away from each other. Leave them alone. Don't bother them. 5 minutes later, they're playing again. Am I right? Those of you that have had to, am I telling the truth? Well, that's what the Lord said we should be. Bear no grudges. Colossians chapter 3, please. And I'm thinking of one brother in the Lord, a very gifted brother. Oh, but what a terrible mind he had. Let's read first Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore. I turn to these scriptures and I could stop at every moment. Do you know what put on here means? Just as you put on your clothes. That's what that word is. It's the same word. Everybody looks so nice tonight. You put on your clothes. Well, this is the same word. Put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now look at verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And there was a couple who got along so well. And some believers couldn't understand, how do you get along so well? You've been married so long. And the brother said, there are two bears in our family. Bear and forbear. That's right. Don't bear grudges. Bear and forbear. Children don't bear grudges. And we should. I'm thinking of a brother, and he was a very remarkable brother. He had eyes that shone when he spoke. And he was a real orator. He would stand and look at you and transfix you. Great fellow. Let me give you an example of how he presented the gospel. You remember the lady in John 4? Caught in adultery. Rather had 5 husbands, and the one she was living with wasn't her own. Well, he read that scripture and then he said, that lady was an artist. How many of you could have 5 husbands and an extra man? That's how he interpreted the word of God. Rather bizarre. Well, With the passage of time, he took ill. Now, here's a brother in the hospital. Well, you can understand with what I just said, that with that attitude and that way of looking at the word, there'd be much disagreement with his other brother. And so there was. And here he is now on his deathbed. Totally blind. Cannot see. And his brothers came and said, brother, it is evident that you're going to be away with the Lord soon. Can't we discuss our differences and come to some conclusion before you go to meet with the Lord? Now, what would you say? What would you say? I would say yes. I think most of us would say yes. What do you think this brother said? He said, I will not discuss it. I will wait for the judgment seat of Christ. Is that grace? Is that forbearing? Do you have a grudge or anything against a brother or a sister over a long time? Get rid of it, beloved. As a child of God, we are not supposed to bear grudges. And when we do, we decrease our effectiveness in the hand of God. 8:20. How much time do I have? Where's the share? How much time, brother? All right. I could tell you about that too, but I won't take up the time. Now, there is another thing about children. Ephesians 6 and 1. Something that should characterize children. Ephesians 6 and 1. And as children of the Lord, this should characterize us. Verse 1, Ephesians 6. We're all children of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now that's naturally speaking. As children of the Lord, we should be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His Word. I ask you, child of God, how obedient are you to the Word? If you are going to succeed and make progress in the army of the Lord, you've got to obey the Lord. You cannot take orders from two different leaders. We must take orders from the Lord. There is another thing that children need, and you get that in verse 4 of the same chapter. Children need discipline. Now, your children here in Canada probably don't need that. But in the States, the children need discipline. And many parents are afraid to discipline the children because they will be accused of child abuse. There's no child abuse in here. But it does tell you if you spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child. Now that doesn't mean beating the child. You don't have to beat the child. Discipline. And there are various ways of disciplining a child. And as children of... Oh, let me just tell you this. I believe I told it this morning. Some of you were present this morning. You heard it, sir. Some visitors came from England to the United States, not Canada. And when they returned to England, they were asked, what impressed you most about the United States? And this dear man answered for himself and his wife. He said, we were most impressed with the way the parents obey the children. That's the trouble down there. Don't let it come up here. When they get the customs, keep them out. Or you'll ruin your country. You'll ruin discipline of children. And we need discipline. Let's look at Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 12. We, as children of God, need discipline. We know this chapter very well. I suppose in most of your Bibles it's marked up as it is mine. See my Bible? All sorts of marks in there. On Hebrews 12. Well, let's see. Let's start at verse 5. You have not, or have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto sons, my son? Despise not the discipline, the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked by him. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, let's read to the end. If you endure chastening or discipline, God dealeth with you as with sons. What son is he whom the father does not discipline? But if you be without discipline, then maybe you're not a child of God. Any believer here just going around, everything is nice. No problems, no cares, no difficulties. You better check on yourself. Maybe you're not a child of God. In the world, said the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have tribulations, trials, and testings. Are you having them? That's proof that you're a child of God. And let's read on. Let's come to verse 11. What's the purpose of discipline? No discipline or chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous. You don't enjoy it, do you? But grievous. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. Now verse 10. They, our fathers, chasten us for a few days after their own understanding. But the Lord our Father God does it for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now, may I see the hands of all who have attained to the holiness of God? Please raise your hand. Nobody. Well, then we need chastening. Isn't that what the word said? He disciplines us and chastens us so that we might be partakers of His holiness. Another story? This man was a sculptor. And there he was chipping away at the stone. Chipping away and chipping away. And his daughter came up. Daddy, why are you ruining the stone? And Daddy said, the more I ruin it, the more the statue falls. That's why he disciplines us. That's why you have problems and difficulties. And even those of you in school, as old as I am, I haven't forgotten my school days. The whole, I don't mean discipline from the teacher. That was never a problem. My dad saw to that. I'm talking about discipline from the Lord Himself. Shall I give you an example of one of my problems? I'll tell you. Second grade. I lost a pencil every day. Leave house with a pencil, come home without a pencil. Till my mother said, there's no point in giving you a new pencil, I'll just give you a half a pencil. And I lost those two. Then one Saturday, a remarkable thing happened. We don't have this type of store in the States anymore. I don't know if you have them. Do you have 5 and 10 cent stores up here? Woolworth 5 and 10 cent store? Everything 5 cents or 10 cents? Do you have them up here? No, the cost of living is hit you too. Dollar store. All right. Yeah, we have them down there too. But in those days, we had 5 and 10 cent stores. Woolworth's 5 and 10 cent stores. And this Saturday, my mother took me down to 125th Street. Now, don't go there now. Don't go there now. But it was a beautiful street when I was a boy. And we went to Woolworth's 5 and 10. And I saw a wonderful thing. The solution to my pencil problem. There was a lady selling pencils for 5 cents, and she would print your name on the pencil. Oh, that's it. I got my pencil and my name off. Went to school Monday morning. I got them now. Let them steal this and I'll identify it. And I wasn't seated 5 minutes in class before that pencil was stolen by the fellow next to me. I raised my hand. Teacher, he has my pencil. How do you know it's yours? My name's on it. She said to him, how do you know it's yours? He said, my name's on it. We both had the same name. Trials and tribulations, even as a child, they do have. But it makes you hold on to the Lord even more. Discipline. There is another thing about a child. We like our children to grow, don't we? We like them to grow. That's why we feed them. First Corinthians 3, I'll give you back the time during the week. 1 Corinthians 3. We read about some believers who were not growing. Verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual. Well, I'll wait. I hear some pages turning. I'll wait. Remember, that too is music. You know, one of the nicest things is to have a nice Bible class. You don't need a lot of people. 10 or 12 people, and you go through the scriptures and turn the pages. It's a delightful sound. If you haven't experienced it, try it. But 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, or fleshly, or natural, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Child of God, are you growing? What are you feeding on? What are you feeding on? Have you gotten beyond Daniel chapter 6? Have you gotten beyond Revelation chapter 3? What are you feeding on? The whole Bible is for everybody. Don't be afraid of it. Tackle it. Feed on it. And then there were some in Hebrews 6 that weren't growing. Oh, by the way, beloved, tell me this. Do you know any more about the Word of God today than you did a month ago? Are you feeding? As children, we should be feeding. Hebrews 5. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you have become dull of hearing. For the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need for somebody to teach you. Oh, are you learning anything, beloved? We should know. When we send our children to school, we expect them to learn, don't we? We expect our children to learn. I know my dad did. Now, he wasn't cruel. He was very nice. But we had to learn. I went to kindergarten. The first day, my father said to me, "Now, Arthur, you are going to school. I may excuse you if you don't learn. But I will not excuse you if you don't behave." Do you get the point? We go to learn. Now, we may have difficulty in learning. But he saw to it that I learned also. God expects us to learn. Child of God, are you learning? You're a child of God. Are you learning? How far have you gotten in the book of Ezekiel? I know chapter 1 is a tough one. Weeds within the weeds. What does that mean? Well, it's like eating food, you know. If you are eating food and there's a portion that is not so delectable, leave it there and go on with what you like. So when you come to some difficult portion and you don't quite understand it, just keep going. And in due time, come back. It's amazing how much you'll understand. But we, as children of God, are to grow in the Word of the Lord and to know it even better. So I'm going to finish. I'm looking here because I want to see what I can omit. Hebrews 6 and 2. Hebrews 6 and verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother. Respect for our parents. And as children, we need to learn respect for God. Respect, I say, for God and the Lord Jesus Christ and God are not the man upstairs. Don't call him that. He is not the man upstairs. He is the man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Respect and honor for the Lord.
He will address the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as I just said, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to mention this. Not one of the disciples ever addressed the Lord Jesus Christ by his name Jesus. Not one. In writing about him, yes, they referred to him as Jesus. But when they addressed him, they never called him Jesus. They called him Lord. What do you call him? Something of interest. Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 21. And as they did eat, the Lord said unto them, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Verse 22. They were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Verse 25. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Judas never called the Lord, Lord. You know why? Because the Lord wasn't his Lord. Now, if he's your Lord, call him Lord. And don't call him Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his title. Honor and respect for the Lord. Now, I could say much more about that. I'm not going to say any more. Let's see. One interesting chapter, and this, I assure you, will be the last. It sounds as if you don't trust me. John chapter 14. Now remember what Judas called him. What did Judas say? Judas called him Master. All right. John chapter 14, please. Verse 22. The study of the scripture is fascinating. All the little differences. Judas Iscariot called him Master. John 14 and 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord. How do you like that? That's this book. And I recommend it to you, especially the younger ones. It'll thrill you. You want a real thrill? Don't bother to go out there and buy those little trashy books they have out there. Open the Bible and let the Lord thrill you with its contents. We are children of God. Let us behave and act like children. We become children by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting him as Savior. And in the will of the Lord, beginning tomorrow, we will look into the matter of Christian warfare. There are a lot of people going around, Christians shouldn't fight. Oh, please. I'm going to ask that we close in a word of prayer. I will close. And then I'm going to ask us to sing number 37. I think the time will allow for that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again, we give thee thanks for the time spent in thy presence, and we thank thee for the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. Thou hast been the silent listener to all that we have said. And if we have spoken amiss, we ask thy forgiveness and ask thee to make right thy precious word. Thou knowest everyone that is here. Thou knowest those that are thine and those that are not thine. And it's our sincere prayer that ere we leave this place, everyone here will truly be a child of God, prepared to enter the gospel army. Dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 37, please. I know the time is late. I'm going to ask you to sing two verses, please. Number 37.